For more than 30 years, Ole Demogod has been investigating the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, and that's led him to look at a lot more situations and a lot more assassinations that have happened following a template, which Ole describes in his book Coup d'etat in slow motion. You can find out more about Ole and his book and his many works at his website, lightonconspiracies.com. There's also an opportunity there for you to sponsor and support Ole financially in the work that he's doing, the ongoing research that he's doing. So, Ole, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's an honor.
It's great to have you along. Now, we've talked in the past about lots of different topics, lots of different situations where the template of assassination is used, but we want to look at one specific event, and that is the murder, if that's what it was, of Lee Rigby, drummer Lee Rigby, in Woolwich in London in 2013. Ole, tell us what you know about the situation, and tell us about your research.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say that when you look at a thing like this, today we're going to go into great details. I just want to say absolutely no disrespect to anyone involved. Mm. I'm not here to cause any pain to families or victims or whatever. But I would suggest that there is a possible, very different background and solution to what has been pushed forward in media. And I just want to, if we can go back to the official story of this incident, and then I will give a different point of view afterwards.
Yes, of course, let's do that.
It was, there was a man called Lee Rigby. He was a soldier, and he was said to have walked in the street in Woolwich with a T-shirt on where it says, "Help for Heroes." Two African men of African origin saw that, and due to the problems in their homeland, they got very, very upset when they saw this T-shirt. So they took their car and just drove straight across the street, hit him on the pavement, and then jumped out, pulled out a big knife and a cleaver, and chopped off his head, then pulled the body into the street and left it there. Afterwards, when this happened, there was somebody was filming the killer with their mobile phone, and at that time he was making statements that we're very sorry that women had to see this happening, but this happens on a daily basis in our country, and you can't trust your government anymore. You have to get rid of it, and so on, and also things about the Islam, these type of thing. And then afterwards, he just walked across the street. The man filming, or whoever was filming with the mobile phones, was just standing there filming. At the same time, witnesses started coming, and one woman laid down next to the headless body for a little while, then stood up and very calmly spoke to the killers and so on. And it took about 25 minutes for the police to arrive to the scene. The two people involved, the two so-called killers involved, were just standing around waiting and also asking for people to call the police and get them there, which witnesses found was very odd, because the normal thing would be to just run away. And then when the police finally arrived, they suddenly started running towards the police car, and both of them were shot down by police officers that jumped out and kept shooting. Both of them got down, were wounded, taken to separate hospitals. And the story was being pumped out that awful terror act, beheading in Woolwich, terrorist act and crazy thing, pointing towards the Muslims and Islam, and that this is an very awful place to live in, and that that was more or less the whole idea, that as a horrible thing like this had happened in London. Mm-hmm. Absolute terror and shock and so on. Mm-hmm. That is the official story. When I come to a crime scene, like you said, I've been doing this for like 30 years. And what I do is I use normal Farmer Brown logic. 1 + 1 = 2. It doesn't matter if you're a fancy professor in a white robe or in a laboratory saying that 1 + 1 = 37. I just know that if you try to push that down my throat, you are lying, and there's a reason why you're lying. And the reason why you're trying to cover it up, that is the motive behind the whole thing that happened. So these lies that are being pushed forward and that are often very obvious will lead you to the real truth. Also, you will see that after many of these so-called terror acts, you will see that it's not really what happened when this was committed, but what happens afterwards, what the direction through media, what is that that they're trying to accomplish, in what direction are they trying to push us? And I would suggest that there's a great possibility that this might have been a so-called false flag operation.
Okay.
Now, why would you commit a false flag operation? And by the way, a false flag operation is that we're talking about a staged event, an event that is not real, but a faked event. So to create a reaction from the public saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then the people who created this problem can come with a solution. And this is why it's very important to see right after these things happen, what is the solution that we're being offered? Yeah. When I've been living in Spain, I had some friends who got murdered due to the research we put into the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, and I had to leave Sweden because I felt threatened. So for many years, after I came to Spain, I was working as an extra on film sets. Extras are these people sitting in the background, talking in the background, walking in the background, whatever in the background of film sets, ads, and so on, commercials. So for many, many hours, I've been sitting watching, seeing how adverts are being commercials are being filmed, or film sets,
Yes.
And so it's quite interesting, because when you sit there, it's like for hours and hours, and it's so boring if you are not really interested of how they do it. So I've always been, looking into how they do it and how does it work and all of these things. So when I look on a false flag operation, I also look upon it as a possible film set, because sometimes this is actually what we're being presented. And at a normal film set, a normal film shoot, what you do if it's in the city center or somewhere like that, you block off the streets, you have the permission, you get the permission by the police or authorities, and you block off a certain part of the street so that normal traffic cannot interfere. Normal pedestrians cannot interfere. You need the same background action when there are more than one take, so that you need the same people in the background to walk from point A to point B, for instance. So this is what I've done. I'm really good at walking in backgrounds. I can do that, and I can chew chewing gum at the same time. So what the background people are being told, the extras, is like, okay, you stand there, point A, and you go to point B. And when we say background action, it's always background action first, and then action, then the front figure, whatever the actors are going to do, they start on action. So it's background action and action. And then, for instance, I walk from point A to point B in the background. Then when there's the retake, which there always are, they will say, okay, we need to do another take. So I, for instance, had to go back to point A, and then on background action, I start walking from point A to point B. And this would very often be marked with cue markers, little white dots, or they put tape on the ground. You're saying, walk from here, go there, or sit here, talk to that. The same background action is needed for the different takes so that they can cut them together as well.
Yes,
so
continuity.
That, Continuity, yeah, exactly. And also, at these film shoots, you would have extras. The extras would be driven there in buses. Normally, that would be one or two buses, depending on the size of the shoot. And there would be trucks with equipment. They would have lighting. They would have makeup. They would have costumes. These type of thing. And for some reason, these trucks are almost always white. I don't know why, but they on all the shoots that I've been on, white trucks. And these are discreet trucks, but you can just open up the sides, and then they're totally equipped in on the inside and so on.
Yes.
So, and the actor themselves or the director, they come late, and they normally come in private cars or cabs. Okay.
Okay.
So then let's have a look at the Woolwich beheading. First of all, many times when something like this is done, it's either to create, to get a reaction from the public so that you can push them in the direction that you want. Now I'm talking for the people in so-called power.
Yes.
Or it could be a diversion, to take away the diversion away from what is going on. And I just want to point out that this happened just a few days before the big Bilderberg meeting in Watford, London, just north of London, was taking place. And this was the first time the Bilderbergers, the group, could not, they were created 54, and they tried to hide their existence for years and years and years. But 2013 was the year where they couldn't do it anymore. So instead, they actually invited the press to come to stay on the lawn outside the meeting, but not that they were let into the area where the meeting was going on. But just before this the Bilderberg meeting, where for the first time the international press was coming to London to see this and expose this meeting, boom, this thing happened. And so the whole attention of media was looking into this atrocity, this awful thing. I mean, if what happened, what they claim happened, it was awful, 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 no doubt about it.
Yeah, it was a
But
very shocking event.
let's go into details about it, okay? Because this is, once again, Farmer Brown logic. Look at it from a point without a preconcept opinion.
Yes. Okay.
That if you look at, for instance, in South Africa or Russia or something like that, in South Africa, where there was lots of people around, and somebody did a violent act. I mean, when you saw South Africa, this happened quite often. What happened that the whole area of the people gathered very closely to the attacker. You know, they started throwing rocks at him. They hit him with sticks, or they started kicking or whatever. But they were surrounding this guy who had done this awful thing. They were
Yes.
not standing totally apathetic in the background, just picking their nose. The typical behavior of the human being is to get close and at least be interested in what's going on. Let's look at Woolwich, this thing. This happened in broad daylight in London, lots of traffic, and so on. So what would the natural thing have been? The natural thing would have been lots of people around, lots of people very aggressive or agitated or shocked or scared or screaming or throwing rocks at them. There would be car queues, honking horns, people getting out of their car saying, "What is going on?" You know, or trying to call the police or to do all of these things. We look at Woolwich, absolute zero.
Yes.
This guy is standing absolutely on his own. The people in the background are standing like 150 meters behind him, at least 100, looking in a totally different direction. Not he's standing there with big knives almost like an axe, a cleaver type of thing. Nobody is close. Nobody is reacting. Nobody is doing anything. On the contrary, there's several people passing him with a cart from a shopping cart, like. A woman is just walking by him. You know,
That's
"Sorry,
right.
can I just pass here? I know you just chopped the head of a person, but do you mind if I just pass?" Nothing. There's two or three of them just passing. Okay, so we look at the vehicles. Why are there no traffic jam? Why are there no queues? Why are there not? Because the person that the mobile filming of this whole event, there are two films of the same event.
Yes.
And one of them starts inside a bus. Please remember, how did the extras get to the site? In buses.
Buses.
Okay. So the filming starts inside a bus. That means that there is a bus out from where the film is taken. That is down towards the entrance to this area. Okay. And the guy, the murderer, when he's being filmed, he's standing right outside the army barracks, the exit from the army barracks, the Royal Artillery Barracks. Okay, so that exit is also controlled if you see it from a different point of view. If you control the police, you come from an inside point of view, the Royal Artillery Barracks is not a problem because it's turned shut up. Then you look in the other direction up the hill. There's another bus that blocks the traffic. Okay, two buses that is standard for extras. And what have we got in front of the bus? A white truck. The white truck is parked exactly so that it block off one of the side roads.
Yes.
What was the white trucks used for? In my opinion, extra clothing, makeup, lighting, whatever is needed, you know. And then we have, it looks like a cab that is parked right to one of the buses, blocking off the road as well. So that could be the cab that the director came in. I'm just
Okay.
suggesting, I'm just showing the exact same vehicles that would have been used normally are there on site.
Yes.
So we look at the background, people, how are they reacting? They're totally passive. And like I said, they're coming, they walk and pass this guy who's just chopped the head of someone. I mean, I'm not used to seeing a body without a head. I would be totally freaked out. There's no reaction. Nothing. The body is lying on its own in the middle of the street. Okay. Then you start looking around. The two different films, if you look at the guy how he's talking. In one film, he's looking straight into the camera. On
Yes.
the in another one, he's looking to the left. Okay.
That's
So
right.
there's two different variations of the same event. Two, and I don't know who claims to have filmed this. I've never heard anyone that has come forward saying I was the one who filmed it. But anyway, there are two different films. And on one of them, I would also say if you want to stage an event for a reason, if you want to blame someone, you look in the old Western movies and so on. The bad guys are black. The bad guys are dressed in black. The good guys are dressed in white. White hat, white shirt, all of these type of things.
That's right.
The bad guys, black, black, black. Nothing against the African American or black population of London. I'm just saying this is the way you set it up. Look at the man who's accused of this murder. He's everything is black on him.
Yes.
His black cap, black everything, black, 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 black. And the victim, when you get presented with a photo of the victim, his very fair skin, white background, red uniform with medals on. His name is Lee Rigby, and he's a drummer. If you listen to the film, the drummer girl, you got Eleanor Rigby. These type of things, they move into your subconscious right away.
That's right.
You know, Eleanor Rigby, dee, 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 and the grave, and nobody remembers her, and it's so sad, and all of this, you
Yes,
know.
yes.
And then we look at the accident. I mean, you drive on the left-hand side in England. Where is the car? Where's the crashed car? It's on the pavement on the right-hand side. So this car had to drive right across the street, up on the pavement, hit the guy that they didn't know was a soldier because he had plain clothes on and just this Help for Heroes t-shirt. And by the way, listen once again, if you want propaganda, Help for Heroes. Okay? You
Exactly.
got the very, very black guy, you got the Help for Heroes guy, the drummer, all of these types of, when you start listening to these things, every single way, I'm gonna point them out so you will hear it come again and again. Okay, so the car has gone up on the pavement and crashed into this guy. So we look at the car, no skid marks, no nothing. There's absolutely no signs of a car driving across the street, skid marks, stopping, hitting anything. It's just a crashed car put right on the pavement. There's some oil that has run out underneath it, and then it's standing right in front of a signpole. Is the signpole damaged in any way? No. Is the front of the car totally crushed, on the left-hand side? Yes. How did that happen? No explanation. Does it look like that if you hit somebody like a pedestrian? No. Normally you get a small dent at the front of the car when you hit a pedestrian, and then the most of the impact comes on the windshield.
That's right.
Not metal. I mean, flesh is a lot softer than metal. The crash time, the impact on the car does not match with hitting a person, and there's no signs of on the signpole either. Okay. It's said that they got hold of him, chopped off his head. I mean, come on. We're talking about to chop off the head of somebody that is still alive, not a dead body where there's no blood pressure, but an alive person. It is extremely messy.
Yes.
The body has like 5, 6 liters of blood inside it and a heart that is pumping it out. You know, because until the body understand that it's dying, it's the heart keeps pumping.
Everything keeps going, yeah.
So, yeah. So it will. There will be. It was what is called a bloodbath. That is what it looks like. So, is there blood on the pavement? Answer is no. Not to start with. Later, when there are aerial photos taken of the area, suddenly appears these big blood things where you can see that somebody has been dragged over the pavement out into the street. But on the first shoots, absolutely nothing, absolutely no blood. And also, there's no head, no loose head or anything like that. And the guy who's supposed to have done it, when you see, there was two different filmings with mobile cameras. Okay, one of them, his hands are without blood. From the other angle, his hands are so red, the
Yes.
hands totally covered red, the knives are red, everything is red. On the other one, it's not.
That's right.
So, and then you see on the one where the man has no blood on his hands, there's no blood on his clothes. I mean, he would have been covered like a butcher in blood after doing that. There's nothing. It stops exactly where the hands goes into the sleeves. There's no blood at all anywhere else. And if you compare this skin color of his hands without the blood and his face color, I would say that it looks very much like he's been that they put makeup on his face to make him darker because
Right.
his hands are a lot lighter. And then afterwards, this very, very super red color has been added on graphically. That is my impression. How they've done that, I mean, nowadays with computers, not a problem at all. But there's certainly something very wrong with the two takes, one with blood, one without. Okay, then you start looking, checking out, like, if this was a film set, would there be cue markers? Of course not. I mean that you wouldn't find that on a normal street. You look in the street, cue markers. Boom, boom, boom. Three, four, five different positions. Exactly where the guy, when he starts crossing the street, he goes from one cue marker to the other one. Exactly how you rehearse things, you make the cue markers and you follow them. That is exactly what we see here again. So then you have people around them, witnesses. Why are nobody reacting? Why does it take 25 minutes for the police to arrive? Why are there no? I mean, here we have a soldier that has just lost his head, literally. He's got like hundreds of friends in the army barracks, you would think.
Yes.
Yeah? Not a single one comes out. It's right by a Mulgrave Primary School. No one comes out from there. It's in the middle of London. Nobody comes there. Why are there no horns? Why are there no riots? Why are there no nothing? Everything is just totally calm. And in the background, you can see The traffic is just passing by.
That's right.
Pium,
Everything's
pium,
just
pium,
carrying
pium,
on.
pium. Everything carrying on. Do, 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 do. Is this a shoot for Pepsi Cola or is it? No, it's the beheading of a soldier. Okay, sorry, doesn't matter. Same setting. Okay, so anyway, so the guy, he says, well, I'm sorry that women had to see this, but blah, 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 blah. And so he leaves and he starts walking across the street. Now, the guy, whoever filmed this with a mobile, you would think that this would be the thing of their life, the happening, the most traumatic happening in their life. Would they follow the guy? My answer would say yes. Would they go and film the poor victim? Yes.
Yes.
Did they do that? No. They stood and filmed the whole thing. And there's very little shaking or anything like that on one of them. The other one is shaking. Anyway, so the guy goes across the street,
Yep.
and while he's there, there's a woman who comes up. And what does she do? There's one standing around, like almost picking her nose. But apparently, when you listen to the voiceover afterwards, she's trying to talk sense into the murderer. And she's just like walking around like this. And then comes this woman. And they say, if I can remember right, that she's Boy Scout teacher and the
That's
mother
right.
of two,
Mother,
and the
yep.
mother of two. Listen to the wordings, you know. And one of the witnesses that saw this, he was on his way home from an interview. Can you hear all the good guys, and then you have the bad, the bad, the bad. That, and on the voiceover of this, it's like this whole awful thing had happened, and now the terror of Baghdad, terror, you know, the
Yes.
violence from Baghdad streets has now arrived to London. And the whole way there, just you, the only thing you can't hear is the music in the background and the Union Jack going like, whoa, whoa, you know, and we need to get the foreigners out of here. You know, it's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. I
That's
just
right.
want to point out as well that just after this happened, an incident in Paris occurred. I don't know if that occurred, but it was pumped out in the media saying that, oh my God, this happened. And now in Paris, we look at Paris. What happened? A man was stabbed. Okay, who was stabbed? We're back to this painting, black and white, I think. This man was in the security forces. Good guy. As far as I know, a member of a SWAT team, so-called good guy. He was stabbed in the throat, bad guy, by a man. They don't want to say it out loud. They didn't want to say Muslim or Islam because that would be too obvious, because they've been pumping our brains so full up for decades with Islam equals terrorism and Muslim equals terrorist.
That's right.
Absolutely not true. Absolutely true. They've done that for a long time to pump our subconscious into thinking that, oh my God, his name is Muhammad, where's the bomb? You know, that's where it's come to this point. So in the media, they didn't say that he was a Muslim or anything, but listen to the wording. They said a man, a North African man with a beard, and under his clothes he had Arab clothing. What does that tell you? What picture do you get? Ah, it's Muhammad, Islam, Muslim,
That's right.
terrorist. Once again, boom, 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 they play ping pong with your brain. Anyway, so this woman, she walks up, and what does she do? She lies down next to the body without a head. She lies down next to it and cuddles it almost. You know,
That's
that
right.
is that the first thing you would do with a beheaded body? I mean,
Certainly not. I'm looking at images as you speak of the scene, and so, yeah, looking back at it now, everything you're saying happened, but it's just seems so unbelievable to me.
I know, I know, I know. That's why this is one of my favorite, because it's so obvious when you see it, and it's so incredible that
Yes.
people are buying it once you start seeing it. Anyway, so we carry on, and like I said, after they were standing, waiting for the police. Can you please come and shoot us soon? Because we're getting bored here. That type of waiting. And people around them, people are fiddling around with their mobiles. Are they calling home to say, "My God, I've just experienced the worst thing ever. They chopped the head of someone." No, he's playing a game or something with his mobile. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and just hanging around. Nobody's getting close. Nobody's close to the body. There's absolutely no blood, by the way, around the body, even though it's a slight downhill
That's
thing. There
right.
would be blood running way down. It would look awful. Awful. And anyway, then they come, they get shot, they're taken to hospitals, and then the media moves in and they say, "Oh my God, this awful thing has happened. This awful thing has happened. How could it happen in London? Blame the Muslims, blame the Muslim, blame the Muslim." And they start interviewing witnesses. And there's especially one guy, my absolute favorite. It's a young guy with a kind of a silver necklace on. He's 16, 18, something like that. And so they say, so what happened? What happened?" And he said, "Well, blah, 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 this happened." He said it was the mom of one of his friends that went up and laid down by the body to comfort it. He says, literally, he says, to comfort him. I mean, sorry, he hasn't got a head, you know. But that's why she laid down. No, and she was the mother of two and a scout leader or whatever it was.
That's right.
And she stands up and just talks very quietly, very calmly to this guy. But anyway, in the background, while this teenager in his late teens are being interviewed, look at the police officers in the background. This is the whole idea. When you look at these things, do not look at the obvious. Check out the background details. What happened where your eyes are not supposed to focus? You know, check it out. Look at the background. Look at the thing, and use your normal sense. You know, the normal brain that we have been equipped with by God. You know, use it instead of just buying into the first thing that we're being pushed forward. So we look at these police officers, and you, Alan, or anyone would recognize how these uniforms are supposed to look like. There are two police officers to the left. They look good. And then there's one tiny guy in a black uniform. And look at this guy, because he starts moving around after a little while. The sleeves are like 15 centimeters too long. I kid you not, they, okay, 10 centimeters maybe.
Right.
I would say 15. It's way too big. It's way too big. What is that? And then afterwards, there's this press conference, and this is very awful. We're looking into it, and we ask you, please calm down and do not do anything. And that there's this violent crime has been committed, and the man that was attacked was taken to hospital and later pronounced dead. Later pronounced that he did not have a head. I mean, you don't have to be clever to see this man has deceased. He has, it's like, you know, Monty Python. It is no more a parrot. You know, he does not, he's not breathing. He is not one of us anymore. No, he was later on pronounced dead. Great team of doctors that managed to observe.
Must have taken years of medical training to come up with
I
that.
know, I know, I know. So, and then afterwards, you have this whole thing about, you know, his wife. I don't mean it's respectful, but when it comes to on a level like this, you cannot really take it seriously. But you have Rigby's wife crying, and all, and you got the whole funeral. You got the flowers in the street. You got all of these things, everything, and also the interviews with members of the Muslim community, and how the whole thing, these things were done. I'm just saying that
Yes.
when it comes to these type of operations, there will be a small team of actors involved, and they can come in all shapes and forms as murderers or relatives or friends or you know, childhood girlfriends or whatever. these people can be part of the whole thing. And I would suggest, I have not looked into these people that were interviewed afterwards. I would suggest, please check them out.
Mm.
Where did they come from? What happened after? Did they just disappear? Did their financial situation suddenly just rocket? Do you know, I've become friends with a deep cover CIA agent. He, for 25 years, he was a deep cover black assassin working for the CIA and also later for a super secret hit team called Pegasus that was directly under the control of George Bush Sr. And they were used to do assassinations on a global scale. He did at least 17 missions. And he, in the late 1980s, his name is Chip Tatum. You can check him out at chiptatum.com and many other places. He became a whistleblower. And I've had the confusing pleasure of getting to know him because I really admire his courage for coming forward and becoming a whistleblower. And at the same time, I cannot accept the things that he was involved in at all.
Mm.
But he says that these type of false flag, they're standard, that what I've described, standard procedure, and that they kept them, they use a small group of actors, and the way they either, they finance them very well so they can do money, or they intimidate them to keep them quiet, or they just get rid of them if they, you know, starting speaking up or anything like that.
Yes.
And there is a reason why MI5, MI6 and these different, they have an enormous budget. What do they use them for? Where does the money go? You don't see them ever. You don't see MI6 or MI5 walking around in the street doing some real labor. This money is invested in different things. And some of the things might be things like this, to divert your attention for what they call national security or whatever fancy word they're going to use to cover something up. My suggestion is look into this, and also please do not do what they try to get us to do, to blame minorities. Thing that had absolutely nothing to do with them and also was set there to divert our attention away from much more serious things.
Mm.
In that case, it was the Bilderberg meeting. I would just suggest that if people are not aware of it, that on the 31st of March this year, there was a trial started in Brussels by a court of international judges. I mean, we're talking the real thing in Brussels, where they have subpoenaed this English Queen, Queen Elizabeth II of Windsor, and the former Pope and other people. And the accusations are child genocide. These are very, very serious. Have you seen anything about this in the main media? I would say no.
I would support that as well. No.
No. Is this a major news story? The answer is yes. So how have they diverted the attention away from a thing like that? I would suggest maybe this Malaysian plane that disappeared, because I was just waiting to see, how are they going to divert the attention away? How are they going to pull it away so that nobody will focus here? And boom, this Malaysian plane came, and now everybody's so involved in where did it go? Not look at Brussels. Are there any lawyer? Are there any journalists there? I would put my whole wallet full on that there will be a handful of journalists at the courtroom.
Yeah.
Even though this is of major importance, because by coming forward with such grave accusations against members of the elite group, just like the War Tribune in Kuala Lumpur, where Tony Blair, George Bush Jr., Dick Cheney and other people were tried for crimes against humanity. Did you read about this in the main media? No.
No.
Were they sentenced? Yes. Were the sentences given to the court in Hague, the war crimes court in Hague? Yes. Are they valid, these sentences? Yes. Have you heard about them? No. It's time to wake up. That's the only thing I'm saying. Wake up and do not buy into these things right away when we're being pumped with them. The next time you see a so-called false flag, mass shooting or anything like this, don't buy into it right away. Look in, check out the evidence for yourself. Use your normal logic. Does it make sense? If a bomb explodes on the outside in front of a shop, how come the shop window is blown out from the inside? Doesn't make sense. That was the case with the Boston bombing. There were just thousands of things. Once you start looking into it with an open mind, you just see, my God, it doesn't make sense at all, the official story. No way. And then that's the way to find your way to the real truth and why these things were carried out.
Now, back in 2013, when this happened, the big push was across the Middle East. The big military push was across the Middle East. So, and North Africa. So you're right in pointing out that we have to have the protagonists as African Islamists. And I've noted that this year so far, the media has been pointing the blame finger at the Eastern European community, which is growing here in the UK. We've had programs on television about Romanian gypsies coming here and claiming benefits. And claiming state benefits falsely, saying they have 11 children, and there's all these different people, and they're making lots of money out of our system, benefit system here in the UK, because they're European, they can come here and they can claim benefits. And this is being pushed across the media that these very bad people are all coming from these. They're flooding in, and they're causing a community which. Sorry, in Sheffield we've had a community which was well established of Pakistani, Indian, a large community, and they are now up in arms because the Eastern European Romanian population are moving into the same area, and the established Islamic groups are now saying, oh, this is terrible, they're affecting our culture, they're impacting on our lives, they're stealing from us. And now the Eastern Europeans are being demonized across the media, which just fits in with what's happening in Ukraine, the Crimea, the whole Black Sea area. I'm looking at a map of the Black Sea now, and every country around there, Greece, Turkey, Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, all those countries that surround the Black Sea, where recently we had an incident with a Russian jet buzzing for 90 minutes an American warship. I mean, how an American warship allows anything to get within 1,000 yards at very low level and then stay there for an hour and a half without responding in any way in the Black Sea. I don't know, but the whole push at the moment is demonize the Eastern European communities, make them look bad. They're only here to take money from our benefit system. They're taking up housing. They're having negative impacts on all our communities. Now, we saw last year we had exactly the same thing going on with North African and Asian Islamists, and now the focus has moved to Eastern Europeans, and it will be the next community that will be the, they'll focus on the Iranians because that's the next target, Iran, and the whole situation. But the media is just pointing at these groups and is demonizing them across the board, which is why I say back in 2013 we saw North Africans, Islamic countries and Muslims being demonized. Now this year it's Eastern Europeans. So are we going to see a similar incident happen here, which involves somebody from Romania or the Ukraine, where they go berserk and attack somebody in the street, and we all become incredibly scared of the Eastern Europeans next? What do you think about that, Ole?
I think what you're doing is a very intelligent observation. Very, very intelligent, because this is exactly how they do it. They do not want us to see that the problem comes from them. I'm talking about this global elite group,
Yes.
that are behind the New World Order. They want to blame it on, they create boogeymen. And it's so easily to do, because when they first they totally crash the financial situation for most people, so that we are in a state of worry and depression and need, and also in the need of somebody to blame. So it's very easy, just like gunpowder. You create the gunpowder, and the only thing you need is just a little ignition, just a little, some kind of fire that can just get the whole thing blowing up. And the more it blows up, the more it will divert the attention away from them.
Yes.
So what they do is very, very simple. You just, it goes in trends. It used to be the East Germans and the Russians during the Cold War. And then it went into when the Cold War ended, the trend went into the Muslim one. When it came to terrorists, then it went from, when that was sort of like, it's going, people are not really buying it anymore, it's out of date. So now they changed it, and the last year or so it's been more and more so that the so-called terrorists, they look European, blue-eyed, blonde. They can look anyway, but, and very often they're very peaceful, you know, or geeks or whatever, so that you will fear anyone, everyone, even your own family. And, you know, like, that's the whole point, to get you fearful. And then what they do, who allows these people in? Who opens the borders up? And why do they do it? If this was such a massive problem, would the borders be open? No, but what they do is they open up so that they can let people in and create a new boogeyman. What do? They allow these people to get more benefits than you, so that it's not just, you know. Mm-hmm. So they make it, they are the ones making, it's not the immigrants that makes the system. They create, it's done the same in Sweden, the same in Germany, the same. They do it on a global scale to create this feeling of, why the hell are these immigrants? They just arrived and they get more benefits than I do.
Yes.
I mean, that is not okay. And then you point your anger towards the immigrants instead of who made up the rules. Look where it came from. Mm-hmm. Look who's pumping it through the media. Who controls the media? Why do they do it? And then look on a global scale, like you're doing very intelligently, I would say. Look at the groups that they're aiming at, and the groups that they're, the countries that they're trying to invade or crush or whatever it is. They go together hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You asked about, will it be a Romanian type of thing? Very possibly. And if there is such a thing, then please be aware of this thing, that it could be a setup for you to once again create a new boogeyman so that they can get away with it. I would say keep the focus on them. Whatever happens, they try to get your attention away. Just focus on them, aim the light on them, and let's dissolve this darkness and you know, move into a beautiful future, instead of letting them bully us and control us the way they've tried to for such a long time.
Mm. Now, when we first spoke about doing this interview and talking about the Woolwich beheadings, I immediately went back and reviewed the story, reviewed everything that's come along since. And whilst you've covered everything, there's a couple of things that really stuck in my mind. It was the lack of damage to the road sign with the car. That immediately stood out for me when I was looking back through the information. I've seen vehicles that have hit road signs, and those road signs are designed to collapse on impact with a vehicle to minimise damage to the occupants of the vehicle. They're designed to collapse. There's no sign of collapse. There's not a mark on this thing. So that was something that stood out. And it wasn't until I looked back at the information, and it was reminded to me that it took 25 minutes for the police to arrive. 25 minutes is an incredibly long time. And to just allow these people to, these patsies, I'm going to say it, these patsies, to just wander around in the street with knives, and as you say, everybody's just stood around. And then when the man comes to make his speech to the person with the mobile phone, there's people just wandering by like he's just, you know, a street preacher or something. He's just stood in the street shouting his mouth off. that it's like, oh, I'm not going to look in the street. There's nothing there. There's nothing happening. I just need to get where I'm going to go, and I'm going to totally be blindfolded and blinkered. I'm not going to see what's going on around me. And that really does kind of sum up the state of a lot of the communities here in the UK. It's, well, it's not impacting on me personally immediately now, so I'm not interested. But that all these things, that just those two elements really, really stuck out for me. That the damage to the lack of damage to the road sign and the car, as you've already spoken about, and just the sheer apathy of the people stood around watching this thing happen.
And also this thing: where is the traffic jam? Where is the queues? Yeah, where exactly. Are the normal people? Where's the blood? I mean, it just adds up and up and up. And then it's up to people to make up their own opinion. But I would say, you're welcome to sew off my right arm if this was a real event.
Yeah.
You know, it is a staged false flag event there to divert the attention away from important things and to create anger in the population blamed on an innocent minority.
Yes.
That has absolutely nothing to do with it. No gain to win. I mean, what would the gain be for people from Nigeria or whatever to chop the head off a person in London? I don't get it. There's no logic to it.
But what we did see coming on afterwards, what we did see in the aftermath was the demonization of Islam, the attack on mosques, the graffiti that we saw, Islam equals evil, written on mosques, and you know, people going over with the heads from pigs and putting them on Islamic buildings, and it just the whole thing. And now this year we're seeing the Eastern Europeans demonized, so we're seeing programs on the television about, oh, they're coming here and look how much money they're getting in benefits, and isn't it terrible, and look how they're overrunning communities, all these Romani gypsies coming in, and you know, your template, the template that you've identified, is being followed. Problem, reaction, solution.
I know. I know. That's why I spend a lot of time trying to expose it, because it's been used on such a regular basis. It's again and again and again and again. Whatever they want to achieve, they secretly create a problem.
Yes.
So that to get the reaction from us, so that they can come with a solution. So we're so gullible, we're so easily manipulated, and we're buying into it every single time. And then if someone like me speaks up and you know, says something about this place, I've done it before, and the reactions are, how dare you, my God, he was killed, an English soldier, and here we come, the Union Jack in the background and the music, how dare you. I said, it's a matter of a dead soldier or whatever, it's a fake event.
Yes.
It is not real. That's what I'm about. I'm just exposing, saying, please look again, inform yourself, and see that you're being duped and that they're trying to accomplish things for you while you are asleep. So by waking up to these things, you will not buy into it again, and they will stop to occur, because when people are aware, you can't fool them anymore.
That's right. Now, I have been covering on my show the history of the European Union. And last night I was doing my show and I talked about Walter Hallstein and IG Farben. And we looked at his background, his history, his rise through the ranks in the Nazi Party, and then his subsequent denial of having anything to do with the Nazis. He was the lead negotiator and coordinator of systems that were being set up between Italy and Germany pre-war, during the war, and then afterwards he spent 10 years as the first president of the EU, placed there by the IG Farben cartel. And whilst I was talking about this, I had a guest in the studio and I spoke to him afterwards and I said, so how do you see the EU now, knowing its roots and the so-called father of the EU, Walter Hallstein? How do you see the EU now? And he was totally in shock. totally in shock because it just took away all the foundations, the understanding of the system that he understood.
It is shocking to find out these things, but when you look at it, you will see that they are, I would call them, super criminal organizations. They are there for us, we're being told, but when you see the origin, who created these organizations and how are they used and how much money are being, what do you call it in English, embezzled? How much?
Yes.
I think it's one in every 16 pound disappears and nobody knows where it's going. That we're talking amounts that are just unreal.
Yes. Yeah.
And the whole way that we're being manipulated, how the same group of people have created the European Union, the NATO, the UN troops,
yes,
the World Health Organization, the World Wildlife Organization, the World Bank, mm-hmm. the International Monetary Funds, these are their tools to control us, to terrorize us in some areas so that they can protect us in other areas. And we're being duped, people. We're being duped. And very important work you're doing by studying history. Find out how was this created and for what.
Yes.
You will start seeing a totally new picture. Not a very nice picture, but I would say that it's better with a brutal truth than a sweet lie, yeah. You know. So I'm sorry to be the carrier of bad news. I see myself as a carrier of great news because I think it's a super exciting time to be alive, and yes. because this is when it's happening, when everything is being exposed. So on the other side, we can have this beautiful, beautiful world that is designed to be once we go on the other side of being terrorized by this small, small, small group of mad people. I mean, when you look at what they're doing, they're absolutely mad. The agenda to destroy even nature and to destroy the population with vaccines and poisoned water and food. And I mean, they're attacking from all different angles at the moment. But at the same time, there's this incredible awakening going on where people are just popping up everywhere saying, my God, this has to stop. We have to wake up. I mean, this is no fun anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It is time. It is time. And I would say also, it is not only time, but it's our responsibility to wake up, because lots of people are suffering because we are asleep. Mm-hmm. There are wars, totally unjust wars, being carried out on a daily basis while you're sitting having your nice supper and dinner and flicking around BBC One, BBC Two. People are being slaughtered in other countries, and sometimes by your children now in uniforms, you know, because they have been duped into thinking that what they're doing is good.
Yes.
That by joining the forces, you know, you get a medal and you will be a hero. And no, I'm sorry to say, you will be a murder weapon. You will be a brutal enforcers of a small group of very, very greedy bankers with no morals whatsoever. You are being used as a murder weapon, and you are the ones that will have blood on your soul for these things that you carry out. So I ask and I beg from the bottom of my heart, when it comes to police officers, people in uniform, you name it, so many of us that are part of this, wake up, inform yourself whose agenda you're serving. Do not do this to yourself. Do not do it to your fellow human being. And also to the members of the elite, to say that the game is over. It's time for you to understand that it will not work anymore. We are millions and millions and millions that know what is going on. We don't buy it anymore. And the sooner you see it, the sooner we can heal this world. So we welcome you. Have the guts for once, instead of being such cowards. Have the guts to stand up, become whistleblowers, expose what you have been part of. The more brave you are in exposing the things that you have been part of. Yeah, we know that you've been duped into it. Many of you have. Many of you have been tricked into it, but then you have let greed and all of these other human aspects take over, but on a scale that is hurting humanity. The first people will be welcomed big time as heroes, as whistleblowers. But the longer you wait, the colder the embrace will be. You know, now is the time. Now is the time to have the courage. And I welcome you with open arms to have the courage to stand up in transparency, expose what you have been part of, and take, if there's a punishment, then take it, but at least have the respect for yourself, redeem yourself, and take the respect back.
Ole Demogorg, author of Coup d'etat in Slow Motion, details of which can be found at lightonconspiracies.com. And there's also opportunities for you to donate to the work that Ole is doing to carry this forward, to expose more and more evil in our society, but also look at the solutions. Ole Demogorg, any closing words, but thank you.
I would very much like to finish with a prayer. Not that I'm a religious person. I think religion is very often used as a political tool, but I see myself as a spiritual person. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who hurt us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light.
Oh, Demogorg, thank you.
Thank you, Anna.